Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, a mixture of clouds and sun set for today. We've got a chance for showers and thunderstorms. High today near 81 degrees. Kenosha right now 69, 68 in Burlington. Milwaukee 72. It is 70 at this hour in Racine. Police in Mount Pleasant investigating the possibility of a vehicle taken from the Picaro Ford dealership this past Monday morning, being involved in an attempted break-in at the Pullman Dodge on Washington Avenue this morning in Mount Pleasant. The vehicle, a white Escape, was reportedly seen with two black males inside heading toward the Milwaukee area. Police in Mount Pleasant also investigating the possibility of another attempted break-in, maybe at the Toyota dealership by the interstate. Reports of heavy damage to the back of a vehicle and by a service door at that location. That's by the interstate near Highway 20. Meanwhile, a 13-year-old boy involved in the crash of the vehicle stolen from Picaro Ford on July the 4th, the one that crashed in Mount Pleasant, that youngster got released from the hospital. Now he's in juvenile detention, waiting for a hearing on a previous burglary and other felony charges in Milwaukee County. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Mount Pleasant police were involved in a chase with several stolen vehicles early in the morning on the 4th, but called it off because of safety concerns. They later came across one of the vehicles crashed and on fire in the median of Highway 20 at West Road and the 13-year-old suspect trying to leave the scene. The teen suffered minor injuries in the crash. Officers later determined three vehicles had been stolen from the dealership. Two of them are still missing and no suspects have been identified. The teen who crashed could face multiple charges in Racine County, including burglary, fleeing police, reckless endangerment, and operating a vehicle without owner's consent. Police continue to investigate the break-in at the dealership. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
And again, one of those two missing vehicles may have been involved in an attempted break-in at the Pullman Dodge dealership this morning. Four men facing charges in Racine County of being party to the crimes of attempted first-degree intentional homicide and aggravated battery after two men suffered serious injuries during a weekend altercation. Police indicate they were called to Hagerer and LaSalle Streets, found two men with serious injuries, a 22-year-old, injuries to the face and head, a 30-year-old with knife wounds. Police learned the identities of the suspects, arresting all four at a nearby home. One allegedly telling police he and the other three had been drinking on his porch. The two victims walked by and, according to the man, looked for trouble. Said the two groups argued. The four men then left the porch and allegedly assaulted the victims. Preliminary hearings on the charges are scheduled for next week. It's become a problem at scenes for accidents and fires and major crime cases. Gawkers taking pictures with their smartphones. It's happened most recently in Fond du Lac County with a fatal accident on I-41. This is Sheriff's Captain Rick Oleg.
It's completely unsafe, and there's really no reason for it. And we actually had talked about if we had resources that we could actually stop those people and arrest them for inattentive driving. Citations.
Captain Oleg said that if there had been a secondary accident at the crash site, it would have been extremely difficult to respond to because of so many other people at that scene. The investigation into the death of an inmate at the Green Bay Correctional Institution is continuing, even though the Brown County Sheriff's Department says the death of Francisco Flores Roca, convicted of attempted homicide in Kenosha in 2005, is not suspicious. Flores Roca died on Monday, less than a week after the prison went on lockdown from an assault that targeted staff members. Two prison employees stabbed and beaten, a third injured in the incident, all three treated and released from a hospital. The Department of Corrections not confirming that Flores Roca was involved, but did say he refused medical attention for minor cuts to his hand. The DOC, though, has not released the cause of death. An ordinance designed to put additional requirements on the placement of violent sex offenders in the city of Kenosha was approved last night by aldermen with little discussion. Sponsored by Alderman David Bogdala, the change requires those offenders to have some sort of financial interest in the residence in which they are placed.
They don't sign a lease, they don't pay for it, they're not responsible for the property. So what we're saying is essentially we're not saying that that person couldn't be there. What we're saying is that person has to be responsible to be financially and responsible for the property. And I think most importantly, we have to be notified. So the part of the ordinance requirement is that if in fact there is such an agreement, the city has to be notified in writing.
Even though the language in the ordinance does not specifically mention sex offenders, Bogdala says it is designed to address situations just like the one in Wheatland this year where a judge placed a Racine County sex offender in a home through an agreement with a third party. It also prohibits anyone from living in rental housing in the city for fewer than 7 days unless they meet the exceptions listed, including facilities such as nursing and group homes and hotels and motels, licensed boarding houses as well. And federal health officials advising anybody seeking a flu vaccination this year not to get the flu mist, but instead go for the traditional needle injection. State Health Officer Karen McEwen says they're hoping that those in need won't use this warning as an excuse not to get vaccinated at all.
We know that some people may prefer not to have a shot with a needle. Some people are a little concerned about needles, but in this case, we strongly encourage them to go ahead and take that shot. It's over quickly, and it does provide protection for the season for them and their family.
The CDC recommending people not use the flu mist this year because of concerns about how effective it's actually been in preventing the illness. A memorial service scheduled next Tuesday evening in Racine for recent Mount Pleasant fire victim Lori Leisner. The 49-year-old's body found inside her burning home in the 6600 block of Durand Avenue last Friday night. How the fire began could not be determined. The cause of her death has not been released thus far. The memorial service to take place at the Marsh Meredith and Ackland Funeral Home at 6 p.m. next Tuesday. Meanwhile, funeral services are this Saturday in the town of Waterford for James Schmidt, who died in a farming accident last Friday. The 49-year-old Schmidt, according to medical examiner Mike Payne, fell into a vertical feed mixer at his family's farm on Highway 83. The funeral service is at 1 p.m. Saturday, St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in Waterford. Village of Sturtevant's Community Development Authority backing plans to create another tax incremental district, which, if finalized by the end of September, would have a base value retroactive to this past January 1st. Village Administrator Mary Cole said once the new TID map was created, incorporating the Durand Avenue and Wisconsin Street corridors, came to the realization that it was in line with the village's comprehensive plan.
Everyone in Racine County formatted their own comprehensive plan in the last 10 years. Basically, so you don't have spot zoning, you're preparing for future growth. Cole County did this to be in line to, you know, have a goal for future development. So at first we had it just the Highway 11 corridor, but we expanded this area out to be in line with the comp plan, because that's what made logical sense, because that's what the village's vision has been, to see growth. It gives you just more room for redevelopment along that corridor.
Assessor Jim Henke said the 2016 property assessment estimate for the village is $577 million. The new TID recommended to be mixed use will go for 20 years. To move on the new TID, a joint review board will be created, a public hearing held August the 23rd. A resolution from the CDA board to the village board will lead to a final vote by CDA members. The Burlington Common Council got an update on the study of the municipal pool and its badly needed renovation following Phase 1 completion by hired consultant Ayers Associates. Pool Board President Scott Hoffman talking about fundraising efforts toward operational costs and a hoped-for referendum on the November ballot.
Our goal at this point is to raise money for operations of the pool. We would like to see this project come to City Council with a recommendation for a referendum. We would like to see that referendum cover the entire cost of the pool, the chairs, the umbrellas, whatever it takes to make that pool open the first day, the concession stand, the equipment in the concession stand. We want all that covered by the referendum. We want the pool board responsible for raising funds to keep the pool operating.
Burlington Administrator Karina Walter saying at near 50 years old, the municipal pool needs an upgrade, even though it may look fine on the outside. And the Kenosha City Council, without discussion, approving a temporary retailer's license needed for the Kenosha Kingfish baseball team to hold a home run derby at the Lakefront Harbor July the 18th as part of the festivities related to the Northwoods League's All-Star Game at Simmons Field. Top sluggers from across the league will be launching baseballs toward Lake Michigan from 52nd Street and 6th Avenue and a pier extending out into the harbor. A buoy line with field dimensions of Simmons Field will be set up over the water to define the ballpark's dimensions. WRJN.com. That is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.